Hello and welcome to this broadcast. I'm glad that you can join for this time as we consider the Word of God together. And it is my prayer that we will know the Lord's presence and help as we turn to His Word now. Please join with me in prayer to commit this time to the Lord. Our gracious God, we turn to Thee in our time of need. We acknowledge, Lord, that Your Word is a living Word, and we pray that You will grant us eyes to see and mind to understand and a heart to obey Your Word. Help us, Lord, to not only be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. We pray that You will speak into our lives now, and we ask, Lord, that You will awaken our consciences to our need of Thee, an awareness of our sin. We pray, Lord, that Your gospel will be glorified through us and that Your great saving power will be known. And we ask, O Lord, that You will make Yourself known to us. Lord, we praise You that You are a God who can be known. And we pray, Lord, that You will come and open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of Thy law. So bless us now, Lord, and we pray that Your Holy Ghost will give us help. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews and the chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read together from verse 24 to verse 26. These are verses dealing with Moses. Hebrews chapter 11, reading from verse 24. And the Word of God says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Amen. My text is found in Hebrews 11 and the verse 26, especially the final phrase of the verse, where we read of Moses, "for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." If we were to describe the life of Moses in one phrase, it would be these words: "He had respect unto the recompense of the reward." It is this that explains the decisions he made, the sacrifices he chose, and the difficulties he endured. This is the great explanation of all that he did and of the life that he lived. It is necessary, therefore, for us to understand what this means, for it is the very key to his life. Humanly speaking, as we look at the life of Moses, we would say that it was a stroke of good fortune for him to be adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh, to be raised in the wealthiest palace, in the most prosperous and powerful civilization on earth at that time. Moses truly lived and grew up at the very pinnacle of life. He had the best that could be offered in that period of history. How privileged he was, well educated by the Egyptians, a man of great wisdom and knowledge and exploits. He was rich. He had great prospects and a certain future. Certainly, humanly speaking, we would say that Moses had everything that could be wished for. He had everything that this world could offer to him in abundance. And yet, something changed dramatically. Something caused him to give it all up And the Word of God explains this to us. We read in verse 26 of Hebrews 11, "For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." And the word "for" could be translated "because." Here is the reason. Here is the purpose by which he lived. Here is set before us what brought about the great change in his life. Now, this is very significant for us because in our society today, there is a great increase in people who struggle to find purpose in life. Indeed, there is a quest to find meaning and to search for meaning. Many of the books written in philosophy at this time and psychology deal with the subject of meaning and finding meaning in life. And this is particularly acute amongst young people, and this subject often arises amongst them, finding meaning and purpose in life. There are so many people today who truly struggle to find meaning. And this has coincided with the breakdown of the family, the breakdown of moral values, and a decline in the knowledge of God. Perhaps this is true of you. You today are struggling to find meaning in life. You don't really see what the purpose of life is. You don't know God and you don't know what life is all about. Surely it is of interest to you then to find out what motivated and drove Moses and his actions. Surely you would be interested to know why Moses did what he did and lived the way he lived. Now let me emphasize at this stage that Moses was a real historical figure. Now I say this because many modern scholars and historians would question that he ever lived. And indeed, if there is some doubt over whether Moses was a real person, then that throws into question a number of things. It is to claim, of course, that Jesus Christ is a liar, because our Lord frequently spoke of Moses. He pointed people to the fact that Moses wrote of Christ. And indeed, our Savior often spoke of scenes in the life of Moses. Remember that Christ brought up the scene of Moses before the burning bush as he spoke to the Sadducees. And so Jesus Christ then spoke of Moses as a real man. To question whether Moses was a real figure is also to throw into question the authorship and the authenticity of the Pentateuch. The first five books of Moses were written by Moses, but if he wasn't a real person, then who wrote them? Who was the author? And can we really trust these books that purport to be written by him, but perhaps were not? And so to question whether Moses was a real person is to suggest then that we cannot trust the Pentateuch. And finally, to deny that Moses was a real historical figure is to destroy the example of Moses' faith. What we read here in Hebrews 11 of Moses and his faith really has no meaning for us if he wasn't a real man, if he wasn't a real person. But what I want to emphasize to you this evening is that the Word of God presents him to you not as a phony person, not as a person who was made up, or not as a real person, but God's word presents him to you as a real man who by faith gave up his position and prospects in Egypt to follow Jesus Christ. That really happened. Moses really did this, and you can't simply explain it away or deny that it happened. It really happened. Moses was a real man who made these decisions. And therefore, his life speaks to you. His testimony witnesses to you of the reality of the transforming power of the gospel. Indeed, Moses is one of the cloud of witnesses that we read of in chapter 12 in the verse 1. It says there, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And the point is that the writer to the Hebrews has gone through all of these people of faith in order to encourage and to show to God's people that they also should continue in the faith. And so Moses speaks to you, Moses witnesses to you, to the power of the gospel. I wonder, is this power at work in you? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you on the same path of life as Moses? The principle by which he lived by, are you too living by it? Are you living by faith? Have you turned to Christ? These are the great questions which arise as we consider the life of Moses and of which press upon you now. And so I want to consider with you what this statement tells us about Moses, that he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What does this tell us about this man Moses? Well, first of all, observe what he focused on. Observe what he focused on. We read, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The word respect has a root meaning of to look or to see. And this word respect then has two senses. First, that of turning the eyes away from other things to fix them on one thing. So really that means then if you're looking at one thing, you turn away from that and you turn away from everything else in order to fix your attention and your sight on one thing. And the other sense is to look at something attentively, to steadfastly gaze at something. And so here is a word then that shows to us a looking, a gazing upon something with such attention, with such focus, that you do not look at anything else. You are fixed on one thing at the expense of everything else. Now, the meaning of this word is illustrated for us in Acts chapter 1 and the verse 11. And please turn with me to Acts chapter 1 and the verse 11. And here this root word is used. And we read, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so here are the angels speaking to the disciples, who we are told are standing, gazing up into heaven. And the word gazing there is the word respect in our text. And so here were these disciples fixatedly looking up to the place where Christ disappeared into heaven. And they were just standing there, staring up into heaven, looking at the place where Christ disappeared into the clouds. And they couldn't take their eyes off the spot. They were fixed on it. They were focused on it. And we get a sense then of the meaning of this word as we think of that scene. To have respect for something is to have focused attention upon it and to ignore everything else. And so we learn then that it was in this intense way that Moses looked beyond this world to the next. He looked beyond this life. He believed in a spiritual reality, in an existence after this life, and he looked to it with a great focus and an intensity at the expense of everything else. Please turn with me to Luke 20 and the verse 37. And here this looking to the life to come is brought to our attention. Luke 20 and verse 37. Luke 20 and the verse 37. The Lord Jesus says, "Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, when he calleth the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And so Jesus says there that Moses knew of the rising from the dead. He recognized that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were alive. They were living in the life after death. And so Moses then did believe in a spiritual reality, an existence after life. And he was assured that he would have his reward in eternity. And he was so fixed upon that reward that the things of this world, even the riches of Egypt, did not distract him. Now, as we think of this, Moses believing in an afterlife, we need to recognize that the Egyptians also believed in an afterlife. And Moses would have known this. He would have been taught this. The ancient Egyptians were ancestor worshippers, which is one of the reasons why they were so obsessed with recording their names. Boys and girls, I wonder whether you've ever seen the Great Pyramids of Egypt. They are amazing structures. But those pyramids were built as tombs where the dead kings and queens would be buried. And this is also the explanation for what is called mummification. And that is the process by which the Egyptians would take their dead kings and queens and embalm them and seal their bodies in decorated coffins with food and clothing and money and other valuable materials. And all of these things were included in their coffins for the journey to the afterworld and to help to promote the deceased in obtaining eternal life. And so this was how the Egyptians thought. They put their dead in their coffins with all of these things. They sealed them, the kings and the queens, in these great pyramids. And it was all part of their belief of how to achieve immortality. They believed that life after death was achieved by these means. And so Moses then would have been aware of all of these things. Is it possible then that Moses had been influenced by this teaching? And certainly this is not the case for Moses. We read in verse 24 of Hebrews 11, "By faith Moses." Now this sets Moses completely different to the Egyptians. He did not believe and achieving eternal life by these means. No, by faith, we're told. It was with the eye of faith which Moses saw his eternal reward. It was by faith, that which we are told of in verse 1, faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It was by faith that Moses embraced Christ, in whom is life everlasting. Moses realized that in order to have everlasting life, in order to pass through this life into the next, and to receive eternal life, meant that by faith he needed to receive Christ. And this is brought out whenever we consider that the writer to the Hebrews application to the teaching of chapter 11 is that we are to look to Jesus Christ alone. You notice that in chapter 12 and the verses 2 and 3. And there we read, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And so the point is being made here that the example of these great people of faith shows to us that we too are to be looking unto Jesus. But the point is that means then that Moses was looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. And so it was this then that was critical. All of these people of faith rested in Christ. And so too believers now are to live focused upon Christ and focused upon the life to come with Christ. You see, the one thing that we learn from Moses is this: Christ is to be the object of our thoughts and our desires and our hearts. Think of the meaning of that word, to look, to respect, to gaze on with intensity. And Moses was someone who looked upon Christ in this way and looked upon the life to come this way. And he knew that it was only in Christ that he could live eternally with Christ. Oh, I wonder, what are you focused upon right now? Is it on life now? Or is it on the life to come? Are you focused upon Christ, the originator and the perfecter of faith? Are you looking for everlasting life? I wonder, do you have respect for eternal matters? Well, these are questions which we must face up to. Moses was a man who was focused not on this life, but on eternal realities and upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, I want you to observe what he sacrificed. Observe what he sacrificed. We read in our text, "For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Now, as a believer in Christ, Moses walked in Christ's ways and followed in Christ's footsteps. Now, as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize that in order to graciously save sinners, he willingly offered himself to be punished and to die upon the cross as the substitute for sinners. And so as we consider Jesus Christ, we recognize that his focus as he suffered and died was the joy that was soon to be his. In fact, this is put before us in chapter 12 in the verse 2. It says of our Lord, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame." And so recognize then that what motivated Jesus Christ to endure the pain of the cross and to endure death was the prospective joy of entering into his glory and of being enthroned at the right hand of God and of being with his redeemed people forever. And so it was with that great joy in his mind of entering into glory, of being at the right hand of God, and of being with his redeemed people. It was with that in mind that Christ was prepared for the sacrifice of the cross. And so sacrifice then led to ultimate joy. And our Lord then was prepared to endure the cross in order that he might enter into his joy. And this is brought out in Romans 8 and the verse 17, where we are told that if we suffer with Christ, we shall also be glorified together with him. And so in the life of our Lord then, we see this brought out: sacrifice in order to enter into joy. And Moses was a man then who understood this clearly. He knew that the Christian life is one of sacrifice, of counting the cost. He was a man who weighed up the eternal reward of Christ with all that this life offered, and he made a sacrifice. Moses was a sacrificing man, and that is brought out in the terms that are used regarding Moses. Look in verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Notice that word choosing. It means electing or preferring. He made a choice. He preferred one thing over the other. And then look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Notice the word esteeming, which means to deem or to count or to think. The word is bringing out that Moses thought about life, thought about the reproach of Christ, and he counted the cost between living for Christ and living for this world, and he made the choice. And so Moses then was engaged in what our Lord said was absolutely necessary to be saved. And I want you to turn with me to Luke 9 and the verse 23 and 25. And if there's someone listening to this broadcast who's not saved, and you're wondering what it means to be saved, I want you to understand this, that Jesus Christ said that what we're about to read here was absolutely necessary to be saved. Luke chapter 9 and the verse 23. And our Lord says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" You see the clear teaching of Christ. A cost has to be made. The two weighed up, the whole world or your soul. "What will it profit you," our Lord says, "if you gain the whole world but lose your life?" And so the Christian life is a life of sacrifice then. You have to deny yourself to follow Christ. In order to gain everlasting life, you have to lose this life. And so Moses then was someone who engaged in this. He denied himself. He denied the pleasures of Egypt and all that life offered him in order that he would gain Christ. And let us think of the magnitude of this sacrifice. Because Moses was prepared to lose the treasures of Egypt and the pleasures of sin. He was prepared to suffer for Christ's name and with Christ's people in order to obtain the treasures and the pleasures of Christ's salvation and to escape the eternal sufferings of hell with sinners. Now what a contrast we have here. Do you understand it? He sacrificed this life for the next. He sacrificed this world for Christ. He sacrificed the treasures of Egypt for the treasures of Christ. He sacrificed the pleasures of sin for the pleasures of knowing Christ. He sacrificed suffering for Christ's sake in this world, because he did not want to suffer eternally in hell. And isn't this exactly what we read of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 and the verse 8? And I want you to turn with me to Philippians 3, because here the great contrast is brought out again. And the Apostle Paul was a man who understood this. Philippians 3 and the verse 8. And he says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." This is a verse that's speaking of sacrifice. Paul counted. He weighed up the cost. And he said, I regard everything in my life as worse than useless compared to Jesus Christ. He was the man who sacrificed all to obtain Christ. Now this is critical because so many fail to do this. And there are many people in the world today who don't have Moses' perspective and mindset. How often we see this. We're only concerned with the here and now and with what we can get out of life. And as we have rid ourselves of God and of spiritual realities, all that remains is our short existence on earth. And so what do? Then we thrust ourselves into it. We attempt to satisfy ourselves by living life to the fullest. We want to experience all that life can offer us. And yet, as we have done so, what has happened? Well, in our society today, there is an increasing number of people who find life depressing, who find life unsatisfying. There are even people who overall find life not worth living. Now, isn't this something that should concern us? People have so much so often today. Life has so much to offer. And especially young people today find life depressing. The life, even after they experienced all of these things, at the end of the day are unsatisfied. And sadly, many get to the stage where they think life isn't even worth living. And so they take their life. And I wonder whether or not that may be even true of you. That you find life depressing and unsatisfying. And overall, you don't even feel that it's worth living. Is it not because you're not living for Christ? Do you not feel that way because you have not made the sacrifice of choosing Christ over this world? Of making this choice that Moses made? Well, he was a man who sacrificed. Are you making that sacrifice? Are you counting the cost? Are you prepared, as our Lord Jesus Christ said, to deny yourself, to receive Christ, to reject the world and its ways in order to be a follower of the Lord? A sacrifice is required for you if you're going to be saved. But then thirdly and finally, observe what he received. Because we read in our text, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. We noticed before that Moses looked for his eternal reward, and he sacrificed everything to receive it. And the question then is, what happened to Moses? What happened to him? And we learn that as he rested on Christ for his salvation, the riches of Christ became his by faith. And he received the reward of everlasting life and of being with Christ and sharing in his glory. And therefore, as we look at Moses, we see that his life was proof of the promise of Christ in Matthew 19 and the verse 29. And I want you to turn with me to that passage, Matthew 19 and the verse 29. And there our Lord says, and every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Now isn't that wonderful? Moses made the sacrifice, but it was a sacrifice worth making. Because in denying himself and receiving Christ, he inherited everlasting life. Moses was a man who received eternal life. And isn't this evidenced for us whenever our Lord was transfigured? How can you be sure today that Moses is in glory? Well, we think of when our Lord was transfigured, and as Christ's glory was momentarily unveiled, alongside of him stood Moses, and we read these words, who appeared in glory. Moses, this man that we've been learning about, he appeared in glory beside the Lord Jesus Christ. He had received his reward. He had entered into his rest. He had found, as we read in Hebrews 11:6, that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, what blessed hope we have here for those who trust in Christ. What an encouragement there is here. An exceeding eternal weight of glory awaits you, dear child of God. And you can be sure that even as Moses, who lived a life of sacrifice, entered into his glory, so too you, who are resting in Christ, will enter into your glory. But yet, there is a warning here. Because the word for recompense of the reward at the end of our text, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, that word can also mean punishment or a payment of wages of sin, the reward for disobedience. And that word is used in Hebrews 2 and the verse 2. Hebrews 2 and the verse 2 says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You see, the point is being made to you, if you're not saved, that eternal death and hell is the cost of living for yourself and rejecting Christ. The recompense of the reward of a life of sin is eternal condemnation. If we deny the Lord Jesus Christ, he will also deny us. Oh, I wonder what is going to be the recompense of the reward for you. Are you going to receive a reward of condemnation, of damnation? Or will you receive the reward of everlasting life? What reward will you receive when you die? Oh, I exhort you to think upon that, to contemplate upon it. Do you have faith in Christ? Are you resting in him, or are you trusting yourself? Are you somebody like Moses, who has respect unto the recompense of the reward? Or may you be a person who thinks about your life, and who considers the principle undergirding your life. Is it this principle? Are you living like Moses? Are you resting alone in Jesus Christ for your salvation and your deliverance? Or may you be an individual right now who, if you're not saved, will put an end to living life your own way and in your own wisdom, and cast yourself upon the mercy of God in Christ, and receive him as your Saviour. May you do so even now for the salvation of your soul. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we do praise you for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice that as we think of Moses, we know that Jesus Christ is the true Saviour, the one who can deliver men and women from their sins and elevate them from condemnation unto glory. We rejoice that the gospel can lift men out of sin and make them new creatures in Christ. So, Lord, we do pray that the gospel will be at work in the hearts of those who listen to your word. We pray that they will come to a place where they will acknowledge their need and call upon the Lord. Apply your word to our hearts, we pray. Help us to live as Moses lived. Help us to live looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.